you can feel the excitement in the city. You know, last time we were in the NBA Finals was 1974, and it's been a while. So I'm happy that, you know, the fans are enjoying it. There's, you know, 20,000 people in the arena, 25,000 people outside the arena. But we got to focus. We got to do our job, and then they can do their job celebrating at the end.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo, Milwaukee's two-time MVP, who will need to step over Chris Paul and the Suns to step into a whole new category entirely. NBA champion. Today, we talk to our own Malika Andrews, who's been courtside for all of this, crouching in wait to see which side of the floor to run to after each game of these electrically tense NBA finals. Then we enter the hot take multiverse, because my friend Wyatt Cenac has a gripe with a comic book metaphor that is not the hero we deserved, or the one that we needed. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Tuesday, July 20th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by UKG. Our purpose is people. Malika, it's so good to see you. Thank you for coming back on the show.
Thanks for having me, Pablo.
So I know you're a Milwaukee. I know that you are going to be on the sidelines, as you have been all series, on ABC tonight for Game 6. But I want to start by just flashing back to Game 5, because you were there. You were there on the sideline when Jrue Holiday stole the ball from Devin Booker. And then that all-time alley-oop to Giannis occurs.
Knocked away and stolen by Holiday. And Antetokounmpo throws it down. And a foul. Giannis on the alley-oop. What a turnaround.
What was that moment like from where you were, from your vantage point?
I was crouching behind the scorer's table, and I had a list of scribbled out questions for the Suns, and I had a list of scribbled out questions for the Bucks. And I didn't know which way I was going to end up, because that was the pivotal moment. Mm. That changed the game. And so I'm crouching behind the scorer's table because I don't know which way I'm going to go. Am I going to go right for the Suns, or am I going to go left for the Bucks? And in that moment, it's like, all right, yeah, you're going left. But I was down on the ground. And so it looked like maybe they got up even higher or were soaring even farther because of the vantage point I had was squatting on the ground. And I just sat down with Jrue Holiday and I asked him, where does that play from the steal to the pass that ended in the oop rank in terms of your best career plays? And he said, it has to be number one because of the timing in the game, what it did for us, and where it happened in our season. He said, that has to be the greatest play that I've ever been a part of.
And now, Malika, you are right there in the middle of it in Milwaukee. And I know in Phoenix, you got to chat with LeBron. You got to walk by Adele. So what's it going to be like in this city tonight? Because from afar, when they show those shots of the Deer District, it kind of looks like the rave scene in The Matrix or something. So what is the vibe downtown as the Bucks salivate here over what might be their first title in 50 years?
If the Stars showed out for the Suns, then the beer chuggers show out for the Bucks. I mean, in the arena, you have Packers players. There's this one fan. He is a rotund man. Mm. And without fail in this series, they have found him in the crowd. He has chugged a beer. He has ripped his shirt in half. So he's standing there shirtless with his shirt just in tatters, wearing it as two sleeves. And he mouths at the Jumbotron with his fingers held up, Bucks in six!
Bucks in six! Bucks in six!
And I was asked, actually, I was asked after the last game in Pfizer Forum by the son of the Bucks PR director, Barry Baum, which is the crazier atmosphere? Mm. And I said, I got to give the edge to Phoenix. It's a crazy place to play. It truly is unlike things that I have heard since before the pandemic. But I have told people, Pfizer Forum will surprise you by how loud it is. This city loves the Bucks. I mean, I pulled up at my hotel and a couple of Bucks personnel are staying here. It's not the whole team that's here. I haven't seen the stars and the big names here. I've seen the equipment guy here. I've seen, you know, some of the assistant coaches here, right? I've seen a couple of players, but mostly it's those types of guys, right? And still, there are people outside in Bucks jerseys waiting to get a glimpse of someone who is on or around this team. And so, you know, the Brewers moved their game time so it wouldn't conflict. This is a big deal for this city, and it should be.
Yes, and look, if you're one of those fans camped outside of various hotels in the area, just hoping and praying for an autograph or a selfie in this era, obviously the lottery that you would win there comes with the sighting of Giannis. And so you've been covering this guy, Malika. You've been covering this team for years. You're our Bucks correspondent. How different is this version of Giannis? Because when I watch him on the court, obviously he's doing all-time Hall of Fame track things. But then when I just see him talk, I realize that this isn't the person that we were all sort of jokingly sort of thinking about as the foreign exchange student who also happened to be 7 feet tall. He now seems like something quite different.
Right. The guy who was proclaiming his love for the smoothie, or, you know, the famous story of him running to the practice facility because he sent all of his money home back to Greece. And so he didn't have money to pay for transportation. And a couple noticed him and offered him a ride, right? That Giannis.
Yes.
I said to him on Monday, you know, Giannis, we've known each other for a while now. It's really been a pleasure covering you in this run. And he said, really? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, thank you. I hope we can just get it done in game six. And I said, that is something that would be a, I want to say storybook ending, but storybook beginning for him in a way. But I think that this Giannis, and he has talked extensively about this mental shift that he's had, you know, that quote that's been circulating that I'm sure is going to be printed on some cheesy magnets and on a ton of people's refrigerators in the future.
But on throw pillows, Malika. It's getting stitched
exactly
onto all sorts of things.
Exactly. It's going to be the kind of thing you pick up in the Milwaukee airport, right? next to the cheese hats. But that quote that he talked about, where if it's ego, you're living in the past.
When you focus on the past, that's your ego. I did this. And when I focus in the future, it's my pride. I kind of like try to focus in the, you know, in the moment, in the present. And that's humility. That's being humble. That's not setting no expectation. That's going out there, enjoying the game, competing at a high level.
That really embodies the change that he's talking about having made. And it's been a real privilege to watch that evolution.
This was a guy who was being humiliated as recently as game one, right? Countdowns on free throws, air balls at the line, a knee injury that looked like it threatened his entire postseason. So how is it that we're now on the verge of game six and all of this has flipped, turned upside down, as they say?
Well, I think there's a part, if you were to ask Giannis, and he said that I thought that I was going to be out for a year. And so to go from thinking that to being able to play and play at the level that he's playing at, that was almost a mini perspective within this larger revelation that he's had. I mean, it's just so clear that he loves this group, the game, so very much. And, you know, he talked about he gets to wear the final zip up and these little things that he views as a privilege to get to do. And that's apparent every time he's stepped onto the court, every time he's come in to talk to us. That has been kind of the pervasive feeling from him, is that one, he's so appreciative of being here, but two, that's going to be met with his appropriate effort in the moment.
So the group around him that he enjoys so much, a part of me by the way, feels bad just sort of categorizing all of them as the group, because what we're dealing with, in particular with Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday, are two all-star caliber players who are making cases for themselves as something more than that, even. You just talked to Drew. What about him coming off of an all-time Game 5 in which he plays defense as well as any point guard you can imagine, and then just comes up huge offensively? How surprised are you that we're seeing this version of Drew Holiday at this moment?
When Drew joined the Bucks, he got a text message pretty immediately from Giannis, and he got a text from Chris. And what sticks with him now, he'll say, about those texts is that they were talking about, we need to get down to business. They knew that they'd fallen short. They knew that things had gotten wrong. They thought that Drew could plug a hole that had been leaking for them. That professionalism, that's what Drew calls it, made him buy in immediately. And he sees himself as he was brought in to help them complete this job. And Drew says, you know, I know that little kids, right, they're not that interested in playing defense. It's not sexy. It's not flashy. It's not what gets you all over social media. But that's always been what he's been drawn to. He said, you know, he watched Gary Payton, the glove, growing up. And that's sort of what he was trying to embody and do. And so he takes his task of guarding Devin Booker incredibly seriously. He said, I don't want him to win. I don't want him to score. And so that clutch three-pointer that Devin Booker made down the stretch, he said, I knew they needed a three when he came off the screen. I knew he needed that. I watched that play back. My hand was in his face. I think I even touched his hand with my hand, he told me. And it still wasn't good enough. So he said that it was fitting for him that, yeah, you know, the alley-oop was, it was incredible. That stare down from Giannis, all that stuff. But he said that it was fitting for him that it started with a defensive stand. And from a larger perspective, it's fitting for the Bucks, because as long as I've covered Mike Budenholzer, he has invoked the phrase, good defense leads to good offense. And that was good defense leading to good offense.
The other guy that we've not mentioned, again, I always say this on this podcast, apologies to Chris Middleton. Somehow, the dude, Malika, and it's ridiculous that I do this to him at this point, that all of us do this to him at this point on some level. He could score 40. He has scored 40. He is the guy who is, I think, like, if he wants to be aggrieved by being called a sidekick, given his role in their offense, I completely understand. So explain where we are with the Chris Middleton, Giannis, sidekick, who's the number one, whole ecosystem of questions that has fueled months of sports talk now.
Well, the thing about this team is that whomever on any given night, Giannis said, I have all game to be the dude. I don't need to be the dude in the fourth quarter. And it hasn't always been that way. Remember, Chris Middleton and Giannis came to the Bucks at roughly the same time. And at the beginning, they were competing for playing time. And so they would just go at it in practice with each other. So for that relationship to yield this, where Giannis says, I don't need to be the dude in the fourth quarter, where Chris is calling for the ball and Giannis will give it up to him, where they make plays for Chris Middleton and not necessarily for Giannis, because when they need a three-point bucket, they're not going to go to Giannis for that play, no. Right? To have that sort of relationship, that's part of the secret sauce, right? You know, Chris has brought a buddy, if you will, to his post-game news conference almost every time this series. And he'll joke like, yeah, I waited him out and made him come with me, right? That's just who the dude is. But he said, don't mistake me being quiet or mistake my demeanor, or mistake my lack of emotion on my face in some of these plays as me not caring, because coaches have done that in the past. People have done that in the past. They thought I don't care. I care so much. I just don't show it like that. But because he doesn't show it like that, it allows for room for other people too. And it's part of what makes this whole Rubik's Cube work.
All right, Malika, after the break, I want to go from the Bucks plane ride into the Phoenix locker room as they contemplate whether their sun is about to set.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So, Malika, the other side of this building is where you'll find the Phoenix Suns, one loss away from the end to a ride that has felt somewhat Cinderella-ish, if you remember what any of us were thinking and saying to ourselves when this season was beginning. So, just what is the mood, as you understand it, in that locker room right now?
Well, the Suns were saying on Monday all of the things that make it completely plausible to contemplate this series going to a game 7. This has been such a resilient team. They haven't been down since early on in these playoffs. So when they came into Milwaukee last time, they were talking about playing like the desperate team. But now they actually are. And DeAndre Ayton said that he kind of likes that for them.
Coming in the next morning, probably after a loss, you know, the locker room, you probably wouldn't know that we just lost game 5. Just how we walk in and everybody's just so full of spirit and energy.
This is the type of game that Monty Williams' leadership, Monty Williams' huddle speeches that have become so famous, that everything you want is on the other side of hard mentality. This is the type of game that their locker room leadership was built for.
From day one, when we got there, we said we weren't going to allow wins or losses to dictate the culture and the spirit of our gym. I think we have a level of bounce back on our team in the organization that allows for us to get the spirit back.
Yeah, Malika, I listened to Monty Williams talk, and there is not another coach in the NBA who I specifically would want to make me feel better about something terrible that had just happened than that dude.
Yeah.
Which speaks to both his very real life story, but also his demeanor and temperament as a coach. I know his viewpoint on so much of this team has been to let Chris Paul be Chris Paul. Let Devin Booker go do right. Devin Booker things. If you're that coaching staff, what needs to change that has not been done nearly well enough despite all of this excellent motivational work he's been doing?
Well, really, for the Suns, last game, they were up 16. They had this furious run late where they just cut into the Bucks lead and had all the momentum. And just, I mean, some untimely turnovers and inability to secure some boards just made a little bit of the difference in the game. You know, when you look back, I was having a conversation with Dave McMenamin the other day, and I said, yeah, you know, Chris Paul, that game 5, was he as good as they needed to be? And Dave said, well, but when you look back at his whole game, he was. It was just that late sequence from Devin Booker, a couple of missed opportunities that then taints the entire game. Devin Booker, I mean, to have multiple 40-point games is incredible. For Chris Paul to be able to bounce back to the degree he did from one of his worst performances was necessary, and he takes ownership of that. But it's a couple of those little things. And then when the Bucks are able to have Drew, Chris, and Giannis going, I mean, Giannis can eat all he wants, or Chris can eat all he wants. One guy can. But you can't have all those dudes hitting like that. And so for them, it's a defensive effort as well.
So I just find it curious also, Malika, and I hesitate to look ahead to the offseason with a Game 7 very much within the realm of possibility, but I find it interesting that like no one's really talking about, wait a minute, is Chris Paul going to stay with the Suns or not? Because he can leave as soon as this series is over pretty much, but it doesn't seem like that's one of the storylines here.
I don't think it's one of the storylines in the front of everything right now because this has been such an incredible ride. And no matter whether he stays or not, he left this mark. And then there's also Pablo, like you said, I mean, a Game 7 is very well within the realm of possibility, right? A championship for the Bucks is one game away. But Monty Williams said, you know, all we need to do is get them back on a plane to Phoenix. And what happens if the Suns come back? It's improbable, but it's not impossible.
No.
That they come back and win a championship. And if they did, there's still so many things, so many pieces that have to fall. And, you know, I think sometimes great series are only remembered as the series that go to seven games. Sometimes bad series are only remembered as the series that were sweeps, even though every game within the sweep was a nail biter.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those series that even when you're in it, you're able to recognize it as a great series that you want to stay in and that you're not quite ready to go and look ahead to the next thing because it has that pizzazz to it.
Yeah, and I want to be honest about this, right? Like, you get the Bucks and the Suns in the finals, and a part of you, if you're a mainstream sports fan, is bummed.
Sure.
Because you're not getting, oh, there's no KD, there's no LeBron, there's no Steph, there's not even a Joel Embiid, in my case at least. Like, this was something, Malika. It was something that I think we were not anticipating to be as good game to game, minute to minute, as it has been. So, what is now on the line in this series tonight for these two fan bases, for these two franchises, neither of whom has been here in a while, and both of whom has an insane amount riding on this?
I mean, you said it. It's who gets to break the dry spell? Who gets to break that streak? Who gets to be the one that no longer has to say it's been almost 50 years or it's never happened? That's what's on the line. And then there are individual things on the line too. It's whether or not Chris Paul, who is so very close, is going to finish it off. Whether or not Giannis Antetokounmpo, one of the most interesting and unique talents in the league right now, is going to win his first title. All of that is part of what's being played for. It's a legacy thing for two franchises who have been waiting for this for a long time.
And for me, there is one even more important question, which is, will we see Malika Andrews crouching at midcourt, preparing to pounce on a post-game interview that is hopefully going to live up to all of the hype I am currently feeling?
If it's a close game, I'll be crouching.
Malika Andrews, it's good to see you. Thanks for talking to us again.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, my colleagues at ESPN have spent a lot of time trying to declare who is the Batman and who is the Robin of the Milwaukee Bucks, because some men, apparently, just want to watch the world burn.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So the movie The Dark Knight celebrates its 11th anniversary this week, which I find very fitting because one exhausting debate in particular has followed the entirety of these NBA playoffs. Which star in Milwaukee, Giannis or Middleton, is wearing the bat pants?
On this Milwaukee Bucks team, Chris Middleton is the Batman, and Giannis is the Robin. And look, it's okay to be the Robin.
First of all, you said being called a Robin is not an insult. It absolutely is an insult to a two-time MVP. Robin don't even got no pants.
Chris Middleton is Batman when he's in the Batcave. But take him to the Joker's lair, all of a sudden, he's back to Bruce Wayne.
You gotta deliver those goods, too, before you're gonna call him like Batman and all of that.
That's Alfred or Commissioner Gordon's problem. That's the coach. That's Budenholzer.
When it matters the most, who you put your money on? Money-making Middleton, the Batman, the closer.
But while my industry prattles on about who is really Batman and who is really the sidekick in green underwear, one man wanted us to turn off the bat signal entirely. So Wyatt, I've called you here because you texted me and you asked me something very blunt and very urgent. You said, could you get your colleagues to stop with the whole who's the Batman convos? So explain why it is that you're pleading with the ESPN cinematic universe to please stop talking about this stupid comic book superhero.
Sure. And I have to start off by saying this is the privilege of having a friend like you who works at ESPN, where I can, as some strange heckler, just text you and ask you something. It's very much like grandpa behavior of like, hey, you work in TV. Can you tell them to not make commercials so long?
Wyatt Cenac is a comedian, actor, and writer who you might know from The Daily Show or his own HBO show, Problem Areas, among other things. But I asked him to come here to take down a take. Can you get Kendrick Perkins to please stop talking about Batman and Robin is what you've asked me in this pretty specific instance. Yes.
There's this aspect of like, well, who's the Batman and who's the Robin? And I dislike the idea of using Batman and Robin as a metaphor for sports players because it doesn't make sense as one. First off, they're not really teammates. Batman is an adult who took an orphan, turned him into a child soldier, and then the two of them are off fighting a rich man's war on crime. The idea of a billionaire that is going and using his wealth to do whatever he wants doesn't strike me as a good metaphor for an athlete who steps up into a leadership role and does the things that their team needs to do to win. And usually those things are running the plays that are set by the coach, playing by the rules, and finding those opportunities to step up to the challenges that are put in front of them, as opposed to Batman, who is saying, I'm not playing by anybody's rules. I'm not even playing the same game anyone else is playing. I'm just going to go around and break people's ankles and face no repercussions for it because I got $1 billion and a plane.
For those who are not familiar with like Batman skepticism and don't really know, like, wait a minute, I love Batman. Like, why is he a bad hero? Why is he somebody who is actually not that great at his job?
Growing up as a kid, I loved Batman. I still will read Batman comic books. It's hard to break free of that fandom of Batman. At the same time, I recognize that Batman's superpower, and a lot of people have said it over and over again, is that he's just really, really rich. And that's not really a superpower as much as it's greed. And he's a greedy guy who then decides he's going to use his money however he sees fit to solve problems in his city, rather than funding things like public education and social services and things the city could use.
Like, why are you doing that? Why do you care so much about this one weird dude who broke out of an asylum when you have all of the resources to fix incredibly large-scale problems? Like, clearly, the infrastructure of Gotham City is crumbling.
Yes, yeah. Batman has never won the chip. To win a championship would mean Batman caught the Joker. The Joker then received the treatment and counseling and care that he needed to fully rehabilitate, and then became a functional member of society as like a librarian. He's living a much better life. That's never happened. The Joker keeps getting out of Arkham, and Batman could say, well, that's not on me. I don't run Arkham. But still, you need to figure out a way to actually solve Gotham's crime problem if you want to be a winner.
So Wyatt, let's be solutions oriented here, because I know when you watch these games and people are talking about Batman and Robin, you at home have to be coming up with better solutions to this metaphor problem. Who should we be comparing Giannis and Chris Middleton to, if not Batman and Robin? I feel like there needs to be something that's almost more like group ensemble. To you, who do you want these comparisons to be about?
Well, when you say the team ensemble, I think, to me, I think of Toy Story. In that situation, you have Woody and you have Buzz. And Woody is that dependable guy.
Yes, you pull a string on Woody's back and you get 30 points.
Yeah, but Woody's not flashy. Buzz Lightyear is that flashier character that looks like the leader, but is not the leader. Is headstrong, kind of, you know, can go and have an amazing game, but isn't going to be there in a dependable way. And may go out there one game and give you 40 points, but the next game realizes his wings don't actually work. Is Giannis the Buzz Lightyear? Is he the one that, yeah, on the surface, he looks like the engine of your team and it all has to run through him? Or is, you know, and does that mean Chris Middleton's your Woody, where Chris Middleton has to consistently actually be the one? Giannis is going to do what Giannis is going to do, but they're not going to move forward. Like you said, if you don't pull that string and Chris Middleton doesn't give you consistently 30 every game, and the coach recognizes that, yeah, he's got to be the Woody, then you may not win games. That, to me, is that's the comparison I would go with. I very much want to hear Kendrick Perkins as he sits in his suit, kind of lean back like a guy who's just waiting for his turn at the barbershop with his country drawl, just being like, Chris Paul is definitely the Woody of this team. Look, I love Book, but Book, he's a Buzz Lightyear.
Wyatt Cenac, just know that you always have a friend in me.
Thank you.
I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.